Hello, I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good.
Hello and welcome to the SC Ballers Round 8 Q&A podcast. I'm your host and coach of the Terrace Crew, Matt Ricks. Joining me tonight from London, as usual, it's coach of the Casserman Eaters, 2014 third place overall finisher, Danny Boy Ricks. Danny Boy, welcome to Q&A pod.
Yeah, g'day, Matty. Pleasure to be here. Ready for a short and sharp pod, as per usual.
Big week this week. Plenty of good trade options. A lot of focus on centre wing.
Yeah, huge. Absolutely huge centre wing shifts. A lot of fattening up cows you kind of got to get rid of. A lot of premiums on offer. A lot of big boys coming to the fore in the centre wing. Very excited. I think I'm going to use my third boost this week. So, yeah, all things looking up for the Benitas.
Yep. It's I'm looking at my fourth boost potentially this week. So let's get into it anyway. And our first question comes from Brady Carroll on Instagram. Brady asks, is Herbie or Marju a better own for the next few weeks? I like both, but can only squeeze in one alongside Karaz this week.
Good question. I'm bringing in Herbie this week actually, but I'm already in a Marju owner. If you're going on the pure value, definitely Marju. Great run for the Knights coming up, great buy schedule. He looked awesome on the weekend. Herbie going to be more of a pod. I think it's going to be about 80% owned. I know you're not a Marju owner, so you're probably in a better position to answer this because you don't own both.
Yeah, I'm prioritising Marju. I'm not definitely getting Marju. That'll be my boost. I'll boost out Tamale for Marju. But, I'd be prioritising Marju this week unless you really want to anti-pod him. I'm a bit stuck on what to do there. It's really how like your appetite for risk. I think you can take on Marju. Like it's just that he's so heavily owned, and it's more about whether you want to take on that ownership rather than taking on Greg. I think in a vacuum, probably Marju I'd prioritize this week. Herbie's got a good fixture against the Raiders, and Herbie runs into great fixtures in the next few weeks. I'm planning for Herbie about round 10 at this stage. I think it's going to be interesting in centre wing there because like it's really clear at the moment that Marju, Herbie and Karaz are kind of the three premium guys along with Garrick. So I think we're going to start seeing a lot of homogeny in the centre wing, Dan.
Yeah. I think I'm currently for the buy schedule planning all that. I was just going through a bit of buy planning today actually and looking at centre wing, I'm probably going to try to have 7 active players for the round 12 buy and try to keep that pumping out. So, you know, maybe 2 or 3 in the fullback and flex position and then 7 wings. That nearly gets you 9 players all out attack for those rounds when there's only 13 players.
Yeah, that's right. And the other thing about the centre wing position this year is through this early buy period at least, all the premium options are the buy options. So your Marju's, your Karaz's and your Herbie's. Your Ruben Garrick's, they're all really great buy round options. So it's going to be very difficult to pod up at centre wing. I think Fletcher Sharp, who I own, is probably the best pod at the moment at centre wing, but there will be some others who bob up around the traps. It's really about forward looking though at centre wing because, like you said, the spots are going to be at a premium through this period. So understanding players that are going to make it, someone like Tom Jenkins, I actually think Tom Jenkins is a great hold this week, but I just can't see how Tom Jenkins possibly makes my round 12 team by then. So I'm prioritising him as a sell over the likes of Robert Toyer and Sav Tamale at this point.
Yeah, you've got to time that pretty well as well. You can't really just go hard and get all the premiums and the high price guys in centre wing at the moment because you still need to turn over cash for the next few weeks. So you're going to need a few guys that you can flip quite easily. And don't worry too much if they're playing the buys or not because they might be out of your side in 3 or 4 rounds time. So I think you probably want to go for someone like a Marju who's lower in price this week and you know he is probably going to be there. Maybe you can hold off for Herbie like you're planning for round 10 or 11.
Yep, I think that's right. Judd Jacko on socials as well asks, if not Karaz, who are the premium centre wings? We've obviously just discussed Dan Herbie and Marju as great premium options and Ruben Garrick. They're the 4 core guys that you probably want to base your buy period around. But are there any other sort of smoky guys who might catch your eye as a premium centre wing through the period?
Yeah, well, you said Fletcher Sharp. He's probably going to play fullback for that round 12 bye. I really like him. I don't think we need to talk more about him. Lehi Hopewadi plays well round 12. He's going to play fullback because Turbo's either going to be injured or he's going to be on origin duty. Someone like Paul Alamotti might be a good option as well. Bit of a smoky there. Should play on the wing. He may go to the centers for that round as well, depending on the team makeup of the Panthers. There's going to be a few guys out for that round for them. So, but he'll be getting the goal kick in that round as well. Yeah, other than that, Bradman Best maybe for Newcastle. He's a little bit of a chance for origin, but I think if everyone available, he probably misses out there.
Yep. I'd say that's right. A couple from me, Connor Tracy from the Dogs, Tubes' boy, who he's never owned. The Dogs have got a really good run of matches after the Broncos this week. He plays around 12 bye as a smoky. Fallen Gun, Jermaine Asako. Look, that's pod. And then I want to pitch up as well just a little bit for Campbell Graham. He's just a bit of a watch if he can get back from injury as well. Jono, our very own Jono from the SC Ballers, Dan asked to rank Karaz Herbie, and he's thrown in Scott Drinkwater as a relevant buy this week, as from best to worst buys this week.
So Karaz,
I got to mention here, he's caveated this without using the words team dependent. So you have to be able to rank those three, Karaz, Herbie and Drinky, from best to worst buys this week.
Without using the word team dependent.
Okay. Correct.
I would go Drinky, Herbie, Karaz for this week. I don't think there's a super rush on Karaz. They're playing the Broncos. He'll still score anyway, but he's priced at, a 72 average, I think, at the moment.
Yep.
His break-even's around the 70s as well. So even if he tons up, he's not going up a huge amount. Yes, you missed the points, but I think there's a big chance Drinky tons up. I think Herbie's got every chance to ton up as well. So it is a bit of a pick 'em on that. And I just think the guy with the highest ceiling, particularly this week, is Scotty Drinkwater. So I'd go Scotty Drinkwater, Herbie Farnworth, a lower break-even, probably going to go up in cash, and then Karaz first. Of course, that's all subject to squad balance, we'll say.
If you look up the thesaurus of Supercoach for team dependency, squad balance will be right there underneath it. I'm with you. Drinky, best buy of the week by mile this week. Herbie second and Karaz third for me as well. All right, let's move on to Tubes, our very own Tubes from the SC Ballers. He's got another centre wing question. Will Marky Mark Nwanganitawase outscore Greg Marju over the origin period? Interesting question.
I know Tubes doesn't own Marju. I think he's in, he loves an antipod. So with this question, I'm pretty sure he's going to be thinking about bringing in Marky Mark. He's a real Tubes guy, Marky Mark, I think.
Big vibes guy.
Would he outscore Marju over that period? I'm going to say no. But if you're going to antipod Marju, I think the big thing is you need some flair guys to take him on. You're not going to get it done to take on with meat and potatoes or your base stack guys. You're going to need some flair. You're going to need some wingers who have a good run and they're going to score some tries. So, yeah, I don't mind Marky Mark as the take-on option if you are anti-potting.
According to our recently released baller projection, so you would have seen some content with my little head poking up yesterday. According to the baller projections from round 8 to round 13, they are projecting that Greg will outscore Marky Mark by an average of 13 points per week. So according to that, Tubes, no, Marky Mark will not outscore Marju, but we know that this is all based on probability, so there is a chance. But, yeah, I'm going to say Marky Mark will not outscore Gregory. All right, let's get down now, Dan, to some Knights chat. Knights, incredibly, are the most relevant team this week in Supercoach. Given their horrendous form, they're averaging 10 points per game this season, which is just incredible given they actually started on a house on fire with huge wins against, I think they smashed the Finns, didn't they? And they beat someone else in round 1 too. So
Tigers, yeah.
The Tigers. So Since then, they've had losses to the Titans, the Bulldogs, the Tigers, and the Sharks. And so, why are the Knights so relevant, Dan, at the moment?
I don't know, to be honest. Maybe they're just so reliant on swinging the ball wide for their attack. They've just got no punch through the middle. So they're looking to go one and two out for all the attacking plays in the red zone. But I just can't put my finger on it, really. The only one really not performing for him is Dane Gagai, and he's a bit of a proven Supercoach gun. I think he's just probably on his last legs this year.
Yep.
So he's just not getting that big base that he used to. I was looking it up before, and even James Schiller is doing really well. Like
James Schiller is a good Supercoach player.
Yeah, $460K, and he got a 52 on the weekend with a sin bin, and they got tailed up by the Sharks as well. So we said it before. Obviously, Kalen Ponga is an option now for the next 4 weeks. I think he's not going to play the buys just if he's Origin bound. But Fletcher Sharp, Bradman Best, Greg Marju, James Schiller, Dylan Lucas, I certainly think you could take maybe four of those guys.
Mm.
And if you've got Ponga, there's a chance you're loading up on five Knights over the next three or four rounds.
Most super coaches have Tom Cant as well, who's obviously back to the bench this week. So he's a watch. In the spirit of our Knights chat, Jace from Kapalabar asks, I've got Ponga and Marju and am eyeing off Lucas and Sharp. How many Knights is too many given how bad they've looked recently, Dan? So you were saying you could probably carry four Knights. Would you say five is too many?
It depends. Who have they got in that round 12 first bye?
They have the
Panthers.
Panthers in Bathurst.
Without their Origin stars.
Yeah, so no Cleary, no Yeo, Edwards.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad matchup. I think I would say, look, if you want to go all in and you want to make some ground, you could load up and just hope for the best and see, and hopefully they turn it around because their attack can't be worse. And those four guys in the center wing that we just talked about are going really well. So the only way is up for that. So, I think Dylan Lucas, Thomas Cant's probably going to be out of everyone's side by round 12. Particularly if he's off the bench. If he goes to lock, maybe that's a different story. But I'd say outside backs and fullbacks for Knights, probably four would be the maximum. But that's still very heavy.
Yeah, I just think that with the Knights, even though they haven't been in form, they've got these guys who just have such friendly Supercoach games. Obviously, Ponga is a proven gun and he's had a few bad games back-to-back now. Greg's huge base plus power. We saw that on the weekend, 21 tackle breaks. Doesn't really matter if you're winning or losing. Doesn't have high dependency on the team output there. Obviously, the better they do, the more tries he's going to get. Dylan Lucas, same boat, high work rate, high floor. And then Fletcher Sharp, Dan, just seems to bob up in all the right places and can sort of just accumulate those little attacking stats. And he's got an offload in him as well. So his base plus power is really, really strong.
Yeah. Like, I'm bringing in Dylan Lucas this week with the injury risk and using a boost. I wasn't an owner to start the year. It just didn't work for my team at the start. But I was very scared of him seeing those first two rounds. Only one major attacking stat, I believe, and two scores really high, one in the 90s with just that try. So that's exactly what you're looking for, particularly this year at second row forward.
Yeah, I'd say Lucas is probably essential for the buy if he gets through these next couple of games. He's a fine purchase this week. I'm not prioritising him just because of my team setup. I'm just willing to go a little bit weaker at 2RF for now, prioritising fullback and centre wing. But, if he gets through this week, I'll be looking at him either for next week or the week after. Perfectly fine to get him. Obviously, as always, we say that there's a little bit of a risk, Dan, with hamstrings coming back in that first couple of weeks of rare, and that's the highest risk for reoccurrence.
Yeah, there definitely is. I'm taking the punt. I think he's waited the full 6 weeks, which is better than some of the guys like, say, David Fifita, who's out 1 week with a hamstring injury and then all of a sudden he's back again. I think there's a little bit more risk in that.
That smells a bit surely. Like it's almost just never happens where players miss 1 week and then with a hammy and then come back. They usually always, like, must be so low grade that, and they were initially saying 4 weeks.
I don't think anyone really knows. I think Dez is probably just linked to hamstring. Dez Hasler's just gone, yeah, hamstring, and it wasn't, or something. It was something else, and they've just ran with it. So, look, he's waited 6 weeks. He's probably done his time. I don't think if he's any doubt, they're taking him over to New Zealand this week. Yep. So, yeah, I think he'll be right to go, and yeah, very much looking forward to jumping on early.
I'll tell you what, even KPP's been looking pretty good. Kai Pierce-Paul.
Oh, for one game. One game.
He was looking all right as well prior to that. Let's see. I think I am backing the Knights to bounce back a bit as well. I think they're a better team than what they've shown. They've just had so many errors, and the coach, I think, has a lot to answer for. Let's move on, Dan, to a question on Facebook from Rodney McGrath, and he's asking about his team-specific trades this week. He's asking Katoa or Lucas to get in second row forward, and should you use your last boost? He's outlined his trades here as Seyfarth, Howarth, and Toya to Farnworth, Billy Smith, and Katoa or Lucas. He has just under $1 million in the bank, so he's got to get that money on the field, I would have thought.
Oh, jeez. $1 million cash in the bank. First point of call, Rodney, get that money and spend it straight away. You are just losing so much value having close to $1 million on the bench there. You got to get that cash working for you. I think for you, did we hear his rank? I don't think you said he was ranked.
No. But he does, the bit of context on his team, he owns De Groot, Jenkins, and Tamale as well at centre wing.
De Groot, Jenkins, and Tamale. So I'd probably get rid of Jenkins before I get rid of Toya, because of the price. So I'd probably go there. I don't mind getting Katoa over Dylan Lucas. I think it's a much safer option. I think Katoa, that was an outlier game last week. I think he's still priced okay. Yes, he might drop a bit of cash and you might get him a bit cheaper. In saying that, he might get a double against Souths and get that sort of 120, 130 score, and then, you know, you feel like you've missed the boat completely. So look, with that sort of cash, I wouldn't even be against missing Billy Smith this week and picking up Lucas in the center wing. So just go really hard and get some of those extra premiums. Billy getting Herbie Farnworth, Ellie Katoa, and Dylan Lucas.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think, you know, he could look to make a bit of money with Billy Smith, but he really needs to level up his center wing, and he's got the mega bucks to spend. So yeah, I'm all for that. All right, on to a question from Tom on Instagram. With Hooker looking so dire, who are the top projected hookers this week? Good question, looking at the baller projections. Now, Hooker is dire, and there aren't a lot of good trades to be making there. Dan, I just want to start with the chat from you around how you're approaching Hooker through this tough period.
Well, it's really tough. I'm probably in what I thought was a bit of a tough position with Tom Starling. I've got him at the moment as my hooker number one, and then I've got Sandon Smith as number two. I think that's okay. I think, like, I for anyone else out there that owns Tom Starling, like, it's nearly the best of a bad bunch. I think he's nearly the top averaging hooker behind Watson, who had an injury affected game. So, you know, he's top two hookers at the moment, and there's just no other options. So for me, I'm in a decent position there. I'm just going to hold. Starling plays round 12 as well. Watson's probably a drop at round 12, given his origin. If he is origin, he misses 6 of the 9 sort of bye schedule games. So that's where I'm at the moment. It's really tough in the other positions. I think I'm not against going really cheap, just running Sandon Smith there for a little while. And if you've got an injured one and you think they're going to come back soon, like, just hold them and just run Sandon Smith. What about you?
Yeah, I'm same, Starling and Smith. And I've been playing Starling, but I'm actually going to play Sandon Smith this weekend. So Smith has a projected score of 59.3 against the Dragons, which is really good. Starling has a projection of 47. The model doesn't like Starlow too much, but he has been obviously averaging in those high 50s. The minutes are just really up in the air, obviously, for Starlow. The top projected hookers this week are Watson and McInnes, both 63, and then Reece Robson, 61. The trouble with Watson, we spoke about at length on the Tuesday pod, is just you can't bring him in with that round 10 bye and then likelihood of origin. He's just not going to play any games. It's going to be a waste of a trade. McInnes, Dan, I still think he's a small chance for origin just with the sort of lack of middles for New South Wales. Probably not, but I just don't think you can justify a trade at hooker at this stage, like for that type of level of score.
No, I think with the origin risk, I think he is still a chance there. He's going to be super consistent. He's probably going to score you 50 every single week, whereas the likes of, say, Tom Starling, he might go so sort of 30s and 40s, but he's got a lot more attacking opportunity in him, so he can punch out those 80s and 90s. And if you're playing only one hooker and that's the guy you're playing, they're probably going to average pretty similar. So I wouldn't be swinging in that sense. Yeah. I'd probably go for someone like a Starling who's got a bit more attacking upside and have Sand and Smith and plug and play Sand and Smith when
you don't mean trade Starling in. You don't mean trade Starling in.
No, I don't. I don't.
You mean hold.
I mean
you
hold.
You would just hold Starling and hold Sandon. Like, yeah. Sandon's going to be fine through this bye period, I think.
He is. So I try to make as little trades as possible. We spoke about it on the Tuesday pod, definitely wouldn't be getting Connor Watson just because he's going to cost you a trade out unless you desperately need to make a trade at hooker.
Yep. Joshy Bell on Instagram also asks, is there somewhere we can see these projections for all these players? Not quite yet, Joshy. We will, if you've got any questions about any projections or any particular players on a given week, please feel free to reach out to us on socials and we'll respond. We are working on some cool stuff in the background and we are going to get some stuff up on baller.live, which currently has live scores for every game. Mobile first, very, very fast. So go check out baller.live. We will have more projection content coming out and you'll hear us talk about it more on the pods as well with our contributors having access to the projections. So, yeah, it's really exciting. We've been waiting. We've been working on this model for the last sort of 3 to 4 months. So really happy to get it out publicly now. And we'll keep dropping more and more great access, Dan. I know you're a big fan of these. You've been waiting with bated breath to get your hands on them.
Yeah, very big. I mean, it even pointed me out to something like taking a good look at Reece Robson this week. He's projected 61, and I'm like, well, you know, no one's really talked about Robson, but
Origin, though.
He is Origin, right? But they do play round 13, 14.
Yep.
So Watson, compared to Watson, he's 120K cheaper than Watson. We know that Robson from last year has the potential to average 60 quite comfortably and get attack, especially when the Cowboys are on the up. They've got a great run for the next few weeks as well. So if I was taking a hooker and you said, which one do you want for the next 3 or 4 rounds with the potential for holding through till, say, round 15, out of Connor Watson and Reece Robson, I'd probably definitely lean to Robson for the value.
Yeah, I would agree with that. 100%. All right, Dan, that's it for questions. Let's round out tonight with our trades. Who are you looking at bringing in? I heard you saying you're going to boost.
Yeah, big boost this week. All guns blazing. I think the big one for most super coaches to ponder is what you do with Jaden Campbell. And at the moment, I've got Munster, so I'm just going to hold. I know a lot of people actually swing into Munster. Might be a good opportunity to antipod Munster through the origin period as well. So I'm going to hold on Jaden Campbell with setting my sights on possibly Dylan Brown next week. And my trades this week are going to be Herbie Farnworth in for Tom Jenkins, Billy Smith in for Jesse Arthurs, finally get to say goodbye to Arthurs, and then boosting Dylan Lucas for Matt Nicholson. I think there's a bit too much risk in Nicholson losing some of the minutes, and I think he's going to be one of those kind of base guys. He's got a lot more attack than I would have liked at the moment. I don't think he's going to get more that much regularly.
Are you trading Nicholson because you need, like, he's the only one you can afford to trade to Lucas, or are you... like you can't get a Hubner or a Cant up there?
I can't get a Hubner or Cant up there. I could get Corey Horsburgh to him. I could get a Tom Starling to him. But I just think Horsburgh is...
Why are you worried about his minutes?
because of Zach Hosking on the bench. So I think there's a chance that Ricky does his roulette and he still shifts it around. I don't think any forwards' minutes are safe ever at the Raiders. Like,
well, Nicholson's played 80 just about for about a month.
Yeah, because Zach Hoskins hasn't been there.
Yeah, but he was there on the weekend.
Yeah, for his first game back after injury.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, like, trading out is quite heavy-handed when you can just sit him.
He's 560K. Like, what value do you see in Nicholson? If you see him as a 65 to 70 average player, keep him. But if you see him as a 58 to 60 average, like, no, like, why not go up to Dylan Lucas?
The kind of where I'm getting to here is I think Causbury is a better trade out than Nicholson at this point.
Well, you know, each to their own. I think it's more about the, as Jono doesn't like to say, it's about the team balance. If I trade out Horsbro, I've got to play Dylan Egan in the back row this week because I've got to move Tino up there. So it's a little bit because of my team as well, but I don't think I'm going to miss Matty Nicholson.
No, I think that's all right. I'm planning on Nicholson leaving at some point. I just, like, while he's playing 80, I'm kind of just happy for him to sit there. And if he jags a try, like, he's one more ton away from hitting 650K. So, yeah, I'm going to give him another spin this week.
Has he had a ton yet?
Oh, he's had 99 or something. He's had two scores in the 90s.
One score in the 90s.
No, he scored a double on debut, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not leaving this one. Matty Nicholson. Yeah, he's had a 98 and a 91.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
340s.
Plus a 70. 340s, yeah. If he doesn't score, then he's looking at a mid-40 score. Mm-hmm. So that's obviously, like, that's not ideal for a 2-hour.
Yeah, and look, I just think Horsburgh has been at the floor for his minutes, I think. So that means he's guaranteed a 50, I reckon. Also, last week, the base stats were down for all Raiders forwards. So I think that's as low as he's going to go if he's not getting injured. And I think the only way is up. If he has a 55, 60-minute game, I think he's on for 65-plus.
Yeah, my read is that Ricky likes him at that sort of high, mid to high 40s minutes range for his impact. I think he's going to stay there. I traded him out last week, and I think I'm a move ahead there now. All right, my trade.
All right.
My trades. My trades.
I see why
you're
doing that.
My trades this week. My trades this week. I am going Reece Walsh out. Finally, God, he's been frustrating to own. And I'm bringing in Scott Drinkwater. And I'm trading out Tom Jenkins. As I said, I'm not that happy about it, but center wing is just going to be – it's just such a critical position this time of year, and I just can't see him making it. It would not surprise me at all to see Jenkins. He has been so unlucky the last few weeks. There's some very funny TikTok content out there about no one passing him the ball in open space. So I'm actually really scared about selling Tommy Jenkins. I think he could go bananas still, but he's going out to make way for Billy Smith. This week's prominent cash cow, minus 56 break even – there at the Roosters with a good matchup for the Dragons. Now, my last decision is whether I boost. It will be my fourth boost, and it will be hot, spicy tamale to even hotter, spicier Greg Marju. What do you think about that, Dan? Would you be making that boost if you were me?
I don't know. I think young tamale is a bit of a young Marju, to be honest.
Yeah, I can see that.
Absolutely on the up, I think, tamale. If they just have the video session this week and just really drill it into Strange and Hudson Young, that, you know, give this guy the ball, give this guy early ball. Mm-hmm. I loved on the weekend, actually. He did like that sort of Strange cutting across, and then he comes on that under ball and comes out, and he busted about three or four tackles, looked strong, obviously got over for the walkover try. Well, I think you might be missing something there if you're trading out tamale.
Potentially, and I don't, like I said, I don't want to trade these guys, but I'm shit scared of antipodding Greg Marju with his ownership. I'm ranked quite high, 66th overall, so I just feel like that could be the decision that ruins my season if I don't get Greg. On the other hand, I feel like my squad is strong enough to take him on. You know, I could boost to a Hubner to Lucas as well. Like, I think I can afford that. Can I?
Yeah, I don't mind that.
No, I can't afford that. Not with the two prior trades. Mm.
Matty Nicholson, maybe?
Maybe. I'll have a look at that one.
Yeah.
That really does beef up my 2RF this week. I'm going to have a think about that. So, yeah, so that's where I'm at this week with my trades. All subject to change, all care, no responsibility as per usual. Please hit us up with any more questions on social. Happy to got a good team out there who are responding to everyone's questions whenever they post something. So big shout out to all the ballers and all the baller contributors. Dan, that'll see us out for the week, right on 30 minutes again. Well done. Enjoy your weekend and good luck for your Supercoach team.
Yep, go the horse.
Go, Matty, Nick. All right, thanks, guys.